like, I'm not really sure I wanted to put this on tape or not, but we're going anyways. So one of the things the Lord is sharing with me, I want to share with this as a prophetic message. It's called the Day of the Lord. I don't want to go through some of the scriptures about the Day of the Lord, but there's something that's going on. The Lord shared with me that there is a turn, and there's a great turn that is coming. It's going to be such boldness. It isn't going to be rinky-dink ministry. It won't be just handing out messages. There's a great change coming into the body of Christ. A great change. The warrior, Christ, is to begin a war even harder and stronger through his body. You know, we've talked about Gideon's army and so forth. And it's like I see the Lord just plowing through groups of people. And just some people just getting out of his way. And those that are willing to follow are going to follow him. And there'll be those that are saying, no, I just can't. I'm not willing to give up to be able to follow in this new realm that's about to happen. And I want to call this the Day of the Lord. Now, before we go into this, I want to go to John 14, just so we can get a little bit of understanding of some things. Hallelujah. The Day of the Lord. And the Bible tells us that the heavens were taken by force, weren't they? And there is violence. I mean, you know, there's a war going on. And so many times we lose sight about this war that's going on. And it's like this transition is going to move this wimpiness and bring such boldness and anointing and power. Actually, the anointing is already there. It's the fear that prevents the anointing from flowing. Some people are so afraid of certain things that the fear itself is gripping them. You know, if somebody's afraid of being sick, they get sick. You know, if somebody's afraid of something, if they fear something, they become that. And this boldness is going to have to steamroll this fear so that the anointing and the power of God will flow through in such a great way. Paul said, he prayed, Father, I pray that you give me the boldness to speak your word, that you would stretch forth your hand through your holy servant Jesus with healings and signs and wonders. See, this boldness releases the anointing. Does everybody get it? And the Lord is about to bring us into this whole new realm. I like to call it another dimension. And where the boldness is like turning a switch on to the light that's going to flow the power of God. Because it's already there. He is releasing more of his presence. He's releasing more. He must release more because more wickedness is getting more wicked. Until we reach that climax where he will return. In John 14:6, he says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. You know, and we've talked about this before, about the way, truth, and life. And representation of way, truth, and life, we talk about three dimensions. There is a way, there's a truth, and the life. In fact, you can stay in the outer courts, and there's a dimension all by itself. You can get in to the holy place where there's a dimension, and you can get into the most holy place where there's a whole other realm, a whole other dimension of a believer's walk. And in that category, we see that Jesus always spoke about three dimensions. These are a representation also of past, present, and future. You know, he said, I am he who is, who was, and who is to come. You know, so we see that there is this three-dimensional, because we're not bound by space and time, are we? But there are these three realms or these three dimensions that you and I can walk in, depending on how much we're willing to yield. Amen? And the devil wants to prevent. Isn't that the great thing right now? He doesn't want people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit because it brings them to another dimension. Amen? And if they stay filled with the Holy Spirit, that brings them in another dimension and maintains them in that place. So, you know, it's our responsibility for us to walk in that dimension. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it first. Well, man, he was in a dimension. He was in a woohoo! And that's where we need to be. And you know what? We can be there. We can be there. If we begin to look and we begin to see and we begin to remove the fears that the devil has imparted to grip, to try and grip us. No matter what it is, if there is a fear, that means the devil has access to us. Does everybody get it? We must not have a fear. A dead man has no fear. Okay? A dead man has no fear. So whatever it is in any sort of way, we can, it can be an open door or prevent that boldness, you know what I'm saying, that will just flow through the anointing and meet where things will begin to happen. In this threefold, in fact, the Bible says the threefold cord is hard to break. Amen? Well, you know, I mean, unity in dimension. I mean, unity in all areas. A threefold core is hard to break. Think about that. Well, one cause a thousand, two cause a legion. Well, a threefold cord is hard to break. Well, praise be to God. Because they've come into unity. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He prayed that we would be what? One with the Father. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father unless he comes through the Son. So there's a oneness with the Father where you're walking in the fullness of the way, truth, and life. Where you actually become the door. Does everybody get it? Where you actually become the door. Now we know that Jesus is the door. He is our shepherd, isn't he? But we are the offsprings of that door. See, now you become the way, the truth, and the life. Not because you're God, but because he's working through you. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Now, in this three-dimensional of past, present, and future, even the word is a representation. You can read the word, and God can be speaking to you something of your past. He can be speaking to you something of your present, and he can be speaking to you in something of your future. And that's why it's so important for us to have the revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the Spirit and what he is speaking to me and you through his word. Amen? Is he speaking to you of something past? Is he telling you something that's going to come? Or is he telling you something that's going on right now? Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Good. In this threefold or three-dimensional past, present, and future, there is the day of the Lord as a representation as we begin to read of past, present, and future also. And before I go any further, I have to share with you something that happened to me. I was doing some studies today and so forth, and I was running around, you know, just getting stuff done and whatever. And I was going to go. I said, okay, you know, I'm getting burned out right now. I need to just lay down for a second. And my wife came in, and I went to go lay down. And as soon as I laid down, I saw myself. I was brought to a restaurant. And I was standing in this restaurant, and I got up from my seat, and I told everybody, the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is at hand. Now, I was still awake. I mean, the day of the Lord is at hand. Man, I got up out of bed, and I walked out in the kitchen. My wife was like, I thought you went to go lay down. Forget it. I can't lay down. The day of the Lord is at hand. And as I began to come back to find out what the Lord was trying to share with me about the day of the Lord is at hand, he was giving me a prophetic message of about the day of the Lord is at hand, and that you and I are going to be speaking the day of the Lord is at hand. We have been speaking, behold the kingdom of God. Soon you're going to be saying, behold the day of the Lord. Behold the day of the Lord. Because in retrospect, for some people, the day of the Lord is at hand for them. Does everybody get it? And we're going to talk a little bit about what he had shared with me. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Praise be to God. Glory to the Lamb. Let's read this together. Verse 1. 1 through 11. We're going to read some long scriptures here, so hang tough. Glory to God. Let's read this together, okay? Now, Paul writes a letter to the church in Thessalonians. He says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Wow. So we know that it's going to come unexpectedly, right? A thief in the night doesn't let people know he's coming. So it's going to come unexpectedly. Now Paul says you already know this because he's already shared with his church already about these things that are and these events that are going to happen. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." So nobody escapes the day of the Lord. And in there is a day of the Lord for even me and you. Nobody escapes the day of the Lord. There will be a day of the Lord for every human being. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness." In other words, we should not be blinded. We should have the understanding of what's going on. "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Let us what? Watch and be sober. So that means that we have to be watching. In other words, not only are we noticing the times and the events that are going on around us, but we must be watching in prayer and in spirit on what God is trying to show us. Hallelujah. Verse 7, "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." Well, nighttime blinds you, doesn't it? "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." So we see here that the representation of day of the Lord is a representation of judgment. Judgment. It can be the wrath of God or a reward of God. Amen? You're being judged for what's going on. Let's turn to 2 Peter 3. Now we know that only Jesus is going to bring peace. So no matter what you hear and what you see, even though there may be peace, everything is temporary. Everything is temporary because only Jesus can bring the true peace. Does everybody get it? That's all. You know, we're seeing a lot of things going on in Israel right now. I mean, they're in war. You know, now the media won't tell you that. The media won't tell you all the things that's going on there. But they are in war, big time. And it's going to escalate. And it's going to affect the United States. And that's what I believe the Lord is preparing us for. And those who are not in the Spirit are not, who are not who are not prepared, it's going to take them suddenly, very suddenly. 2 Peter 3. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Is everybody there? In verse 7. Let's read it together. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Let's go a little further. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" So we see here that we just spoke about 2 days of the Lord. One is going to happen before the other. We know that the heavens and the earth are not going to melt away until after the 1,000 years. So there's another one that's going to be the day of the Lord. Now, there were, sometimes people misunderstand when the word says, or when it's preached and spoke about the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord. Well, the coming of the Lord is a representation of the day of the Lord also. But there are actually three, what you could say, days of the Lord or three comings of the Lord. And the first coming we know was Jesus when he came, didn't he? And the second coming is when he's going to come for his church. And then there will be the third coming, or the third, which will be known as the day of the Lord, when he actually comes to the earth itself and when he takes dominion there. We'll go a little bit more into it, but I want to just continue in understanding about the day of the Lord. So the day of the Lord is not just one specific day. Does everybody get it? It's not just one specific day. And so many people think, it's just one day and that's it. No, the day of the Lord is every day. It's continuing. It's a span from the moment that he had come already to the moment that he returns again and continues on. So the day of the Lord is just not one event. It's many events that are going on. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to share? We've got to get out of this focus that it's just going to be one event. Not that it isn't one specific great big event. Yes, there's going to be a day of the Lord when the Lord touches the earth. It's going to be an intense day. Everybody's going to, man, it's the day, you know. Hallelujah. But it's not just one specific day. There are many events of the day of the Lord. Okay? And there are people that are, their day of the Lord has just been today. The day of the Lord has just been yesterday, or somebody's day of the Lord will be tomorrow, besides these other events that are going to occur. Okay? Let's go to Amos chapter 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every time I hear the word Amos, I think of Amos. It's time for dinner. Amos chapter 5. Amos is probably one of the earliest expressing the day of the Lord. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 18, let's read it together. Just read a couple scriptures, a couple verses here. 18 through 20. It says, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him." That doesn't sound too good. Or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and the serpent bit him. Wow. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? So we see that the day of the Lord is a day of darkness. It's gloom. It's disaster. It's destruction. And he's talking about that dreadful day that will come to the world. Amen. So we see that it is a day of darkness. Turn to Isaiah 13. You know, so many people are saying, man, I wish the Lord would, you know, I wish the Lord would come soon. And, you know, but God says he desires all souls to be saved. Isaiah 13. Glory to God. In verse 6, we'll read 6 to 16. Is everybody there? "Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty." Now, you know, we know that Jesus is known as God Almighty also, but we also must understand that God the Father is the one that's bringing this all to pass through his Son. Does everybody get it? "Therefore, all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt. And they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger. So it's not a day of play. To lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil. So we see that this day is about representation of punishing the world for its evil. He says he's going to destroy the sinners, doesn't he? And the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud. I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold. You know, you start reading this to some unbelievers, they may just come to repentance. A man more than gold, the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and the day of his fierce anger. Listen, if the earth moves out of its place, you're going to have a lot of earthquakes. You're going to have a lot of tornadoes. You're going to have a lot of hurricanes. I'm telling you, things are going to happen. And that's what it says. Verse 14. It shall be as a hunted gazelle, thank you. And as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people, and everyone will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses will be plundered, and their wives ravished. That's what's going to happen. You know, so many people are just, well, what about this loving God? Well, he is a loving God. As how much as he loves us, is how much his anger can be too. The Bible tells us, man, to fall in the hands of an angry God is a terrible thing. You know, right now we are in a period of grace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in the Old Testament, there wasn't grace. Disobedient children were brought out and stoned to death. I mean, that sounds pretty wild. You profaned the name of the Lord, you died. Some of that was still carrying over even after the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, because look what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. They died for lying to the Holy Spirit. They dragged them out. This is what he's talking about coming on us suddenly too, you know. Reverence and fear to God. So many times we take things for granted. We lie to cover certain things or whatever it may be. Not realizing that you're not lying to man or trying to deceive a man. You're trying to deceive God. And we must come to that place where we are totally reverent to him. That's where you stay in the Spirit. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So the day of the Lord is a representation of a day of judgment. Amen? It is a day of judgment. Everybody will be judged one way or another. Turn to Joel.
Hallelujah.
It's just a simple, quick little preparation. Joel. Let's go to Joel's place. Glory to God. In Joel chapter 2 and verse 1, praise be to God. Let's read it together. We're going to read from 1 to 17. Hallelujah. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. So it's talking about an army that is so fierce that it's not even known, it's never been nor will ever be again, that fierce. Now it says that everything's going to be dark. When we talked about even the stars and constellations won't be able to shine. And he's talking, that's representation of nuclear disaster, nuclear weapons, nuclear war. Why? Because the Bible tells us that after the 1,000 years, the heavens and earth will be burned up. After that rain. So we know that the heavens and earth can't be burned up beforehand. So the only reason why the cloud, the stars and stuff aren't shining forth is because something is preventing it from coming forth. Amen?
Hallelujah. Verse 3. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flame burns. Now that doesn't sound like any chariots of that time. That sounds like missiles, jets, whatever, you know. The land is like the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Surely nothing shall escape them. Their appearance is like appearance of horses, and like swift steeds, so they run.
So, you know, I mean, you got to understand, how else is Joel going to explain what he saw, you know, of his time? He didn't see jets and so forth, but he saw these things, and he can only express them what he knew.
While with a noise like chariots, over mountaintops, they leap.
Well, that sounds like a helicopter or a fighting jet that's just, whew, you know.
Hallelujah. Like the noise of a flaming fire that devours the stubble, like a strong people set in battle array. Before them the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation, and they do not break ranks.
Well, that sounds like formations of either militant, could even be robotic. You know, who knows what's going to, we don't know.
They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down.
Well, that doesn't sound like man.
They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?
Now you got to understand this. You know, we may think, well, man, this is the enemy. But this is God's army bringing judgment. And he uses the enemy. Does everybody get that? Who does God use to bring judgment? Demonic activity. Does everybody get it?
12. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and dark and drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep before the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach. The nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God?
Now, didn't the Lord use demonic activity in the plagues and so forth against Pharaoh? Amen. And he will use it. And there's the great tribulation that's going to come too, which is a representation of the day of the Lord. When he pours out his vials or his bowls, and demonic activity is released even more. Amen. Not that he won't use his angels, but the demonic activity is used.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Zephaniah chapter 1. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah in verse 2, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place. Now everybody knows Baal is what? Saying demonic activity. The names of the idolatrous priests with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the housetops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swear by Malcolm, those who have turned back from following the Lord, that needed to be highlighted, and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of him. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes of the kings of children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. And the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And there shall be on that day, says the Lord, the sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crashing from the hills. Wail, you inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, and all those who handle money are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in what? Complacency. Who say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of the Lord is near. You notice now it's a great day of the Lord, not just the day of the Lord. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. The day, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. Gather yourselves together, yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness, seek humility. It may be that you may be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Now that's pretty powerful. So we see that the day of the Lord is not a pleasant day. He's not only speaking of that which was, and some of these events have already happened. The day of the Lord came when he took down the Roman Empire. The day of the Lord came, you know, by when removing Nebuchadnezzar and so forth. The day of the Lord came. In other words, God's wrath is a representation of the day of the Lord. His day has come many times over and over and over and over. And it will come again. But there will be a day that will exceed all of those events. There will be a period of time that will exceed all of these events, known as the Great Tribulation. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to... let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 30. Hallelujah. Let's read this together. Like I said, we're reading some verses here about the day of the Lord. And we really need to get an impartation tonight. One of the things is because many people, if we don't do something, are going to be caught in the day of the Lord. There's going to be a time where you're going to say, the day of the Lord is at hand. Because they're not willing to receive. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. In Jeremiah 1, in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 1, I'm sorry. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying what? Read it with me. Thus speaks the Lord God of Israel, saying, write in the book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you. For behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring back the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, says the Lord. Now, is that happening? Amen. It's been going on, hasn't it? And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. That's happening. Now, these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins, like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? See, we're all in labor. Everybody's pregnant. God's trying to bring birth to everybody. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So we see that the Lord is going to rescue Israel regardless of what. Even though it will be the greatest tribulation, it will be the greatest of afflictions, God is still going to rescue them. And verse 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore do not fear, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your seed from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, and be quiet, and no one shall make him afraid. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice and will not let you go altogether unpunished. So we know that the Lord is still going to chasten. The Bible says he chastens those he loves. So there will be affliction there, won't there? There's going to be affliction. See, blood is always a representation of atonement, isn't it? In the valley of decision, or what we call Armageddon, there is going to be so much blood that it's going to come up to the horse's bridle. Yeah, and those that you ride horses know where the bridle is. So that's a lot of blood, isn't it? That's a lot of blood. So we see here that even though that all this is going to happen, God is going to still rescue Israel. So we know that war must come. Jacob is a representation of Israel. It's going to be Jacob's trouble. Amen? Jacob's trouble. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. Hallelujah. Turn to Ezekiel 30. Praise be to God. Ezekiel chapter 30. Oh, Lord, bring that impartation. In verse 1, let's read it together. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, wail, woe to the day. For that day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, the time of the Gentiles. The sword shall come upon Egypt, and great anguish shall be in Ethiopia. When the slain fall in Egypt, and they take away her wealth, and her foundations are broken down. Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia, and all the mingled people, Chub and the men of the lands who are allied shall fall with them by the sword. Thus says the Lord, those who uphold Egypt shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down from Megiddo and to Sion. With those within her shall fall by the sword, says the Lord God. Now we see here that he's talking about what? Another day of the Lord. He's talking about Egypt and those in other words, they are aligned right now, aren't they? They are allies with one another. We know that all of these countries are going to come against Israel. And God is going to destroy them. They cannot win. Even though no matter what they do. You know, Israel is only the size of like New York State. That's not very big to be a country. I mean, you know, it's pretty wimpy as a matter of fact. I mean, and it's going to kick butt in all the surrounding areas. Because the hand of God is there. There's going to be so much devastation, so much destruction. You know, we truly believe that we are the generation. Prophetically, all, you know, everything falls into place that we are the generation of the return of Christ. I personally believe that all of us will be taken home. Unless something happens that you die beforehand, you know. But if we live our normal life, live out the normal life of expectancy, I believe every single one of us will see Christ return. It has to happen. Too many things are going on. Israel is the time clock of the world. God is preparing in a great way. And we'll talk a little bit more about what's happening through the scriptures so that we can get the time sequence. Now, nobody knows the exact day or time, but the Bible tells us that we are not children of dark. We are children of light. He says to be sober and watch. So we should be sober and watch. We should know. It should put a little fire under our blessed assurance. Amen. To know that people are dying and going to hell. And at the day of the Lord, some people have had the day of the Lord today. Some people have been judged today, whether they went to heaven or hell. Today was the day of the Lord for them.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Malachi 4. Malachi chapter 4. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. We'll read 1 through 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. On the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts, remember the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded him on Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Now you got to understand something. He already struck the earth with a curse. So this is prophetic. Does everybody get it? Because he's already struck the earth with a curse. And we'll talk about that in a second. Let's go to Matthew 11. So he says he's going to send Elijah, right, before that great and dreadful day. Now go to Matthew 11. Wow. In verse 10.
This is Jesus speaking. He says, "For this is he who, this is he of whom is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of a woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." Hallelujah. Settle up your egos, right? "For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come." Who? "For he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now, the word just told us in Malachi that Elijah would have to come first before the great dreadful day. So we know that he has come, hasn't he? He came in the spirit of John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Amen? Now, it doesn't mean that Elijah won't come again. Him and whether it be Enoch or Moses, and I'm not here to argue that. But the Bible says that they will come and be witnesses in Jerusalem and Israel. Amen. And that will be during the tribulation. So we know that John the Baptist has already come in the spirit of Elijah, and some other event must happen, and we'll go there. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts 2. So we know that the Jews have been returned, right, and are still returning. And we know that John the Baptist came already in the spirit of Elijah. So all of these things are happening. And they've been happening. And I'm not going to go into all the prophetic symbols and signs about Israel. That's a whole other teaching. Acts chapter 2. Glory to God. In verse 14. In verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So an event had just occurred, spoken by the prophet Joel. And he said that it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now we see that this is a twofold prophetic word. We know that he has poured out his spirit, and he's pouring out his spirit since the day of Pentecost. But the other event has not happened yet. And where it says, "And I will show wonders in heaven and signs beneath, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness." That's not happened yet, has it? Amen. Okay. So we see here what was spoken in Malachi about Elijah coming. And we see here that John the Baptist was a representation of Elijah coming. And we see that Joel prophesied about the great and awesome day of the Lord. And we see here that it was fulfilled already, almost 2,000 years ago. Does everybody get it? So we see all of these things are falling in place, and God is still pouring out His Spirit. It's still happening. So we know that the day of the Lord is at hand. You and I could be taken any moment. That's a representation of the day of the Lord. Any moment. Like I said, soon you and I will be going around telling people, behold, the day of the Lord is at hand. Behold, the day of the Lord is at hand. Because they're not willing to receive. Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 5. Hallelujah. Wow. I guess I had more than I realized. Glory to God. In verse 1 through 5, let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5. Is everybody there? It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed am absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now listen. He's talking about turn someone over to Satan. Why? Well, obviously sickness, disease, something is going to come upon him. Hello? Where he's going to turn to the Lord. And he's saying, listen, it'd be better to turn him over to Satan that he die from sickness and disease and a slower death so that he can come back to the Lord or repent. Why? Because he called it the day of the Lord. See, so when somebody dies, that is their day of the Lord. The Bible says you cannot serve two masters. So when you may come up to someone and share with them, as you are quickened by the Spirit, behold, the day of the Lord is at hand. God may be letting you know that that person is about to perish soon. Does everybody get it? So you don't know. But this great boldness that is going to come to the body of Christ, there's going to be such a great transition and a turn. There's going to be great repentance. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, if they're not willing to receive in the meekness, then tell them about the terror of the Lord. That's right. And that's what's about to happen. Because grace is about to run out. Does everybody get it? Grace is about to run out. That's why there's going to be a lot of talking about the day of the Lord. Because grace is about to leave. And John 16. Wow. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. In verse 7. Jesus is speaking. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness of judgment of sin. Of sin because they do not what? Believe in me. And of righteousness because I go to the Father, my Father, and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Jesus came the first time. Now understand this. Yes, he came for many reasons. But he also came to judge the ruler of this world. Does everybody get it? Because he just said, now I can send the helper because the ruler of the world has been judged. So he came the first time to judge the ruler of the world. Found him guilty. And he's about to do his time. 1,000 years in the abyss and eternal damnation in a lake of fire. That's his sentence. Now, he hasn't started his sentence yet. Does everybody get it? But he came. So the Lord came the first time to judge the ruler. He's going to come again to judge the body. And then he will come again to judge the world. Remember we talked about the three dimensions that God seems to always walk in or work in. And those are the three great judgments. Now, I know that there are other judgments. Amen? But those other judgments are all a representation of the world and those who've lived in it. So we know that he judged the ruler, he'll judge his church or the body, and then he will judge the world. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm not going to go any further on that. Praise be to God. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Glory, hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Religious demons hate when I preach this. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Come on, let's read this one together. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. I told you it was rough in the Old Testament. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? I don't think we need to go any further. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the day of the Lord coming to somebody right then and there. Judgment. An expectation of judgment. That man needs, or woman needs to repent quickly and turn away. Hallelujah. Now, go to Luke 16. Now, you don't have to go there. We already talked about it. Let's go to Genesis 3. I want to go back. I'm trying to get this all in. I didn't realize how much I had. Didn't realize how much you were telling me, Dad. Wow. Okay. We can get through this in Jesus' name. Now, Genesis 3 talks about the curse. And because of the fall of Adam and Eve, God cursed the earth. Amen? I want to bring understanding that God not only cursed the earth, but he cursed his creation. He was angry. You know. During the whole time between Genesis and Revelation, God is trying to restore or rectify the curse. During that whole period of time. In fact, it doesn't go, it goes all the way to Revelation 22:3, where he talks about the curse being removed. But we see he cursed. Now, I want to go to something specifically. Go to verse 14 in Genesis 3. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are what? Cursed.
more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity, which means hatred, between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.
So we see here, we know that in this war, that Jesus had to come, because he was the one who was going to bruise the head of the serpent and bruise his heel. Amen? So that you and I could be removed from the curse. Not that the curse isn't removed from the world. Amen? The curse is not removed from the world, but you and I are no longer under the curse. In other words, what's been restored, because what was taken was the rule of God on the earth was removed from the fall of Adam and Eve. Now, Jesus has restored the rule spiritually, but the rule of the earth is still under Satan. Okay? And that's what he is going to restore. So the whole time between Genesis and Revelation, God's purpose was to revoke or restore the curse that he put on his own creation and on the earth. Does everybody get it? So yeah, you and I were born with a curse. But now we're reborn not under the curse anymore. We are under the rule of Christ spiritually, but we are not under his rule here on the earth yet, because he's not come to the earth. And that will be the next rule. Does everybody get that?
Hallelujah. Good. Let's go to Revelation 22:3. That way you can see that.
So, remember, the Lord's purpose is to restore everything and rescue, because he desires no one to be lost. So the day of the Lord is not just a representation of destroying the wicked, but it's a representation of saving the lost. That's why judgments are going on all the time. That's why there's afflictions and persecutions and so forth. And you know, that's why people go through things. I mean, you know, it's unfortunate that somebody has to come to the Lord after they've just been gone through everything. But at least they got to the Lord. Amen. I mean, you know, I myself, until I lost everything, you know, I had hell on earth. You know, it was the day of the Lord for me. But you know, in the day of the Lord for me, however it took, he rescued me like he's going to rescue Israel.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, afflictions and so forth, and God uses whatever to rescue someone. People are on their deathbed, never knew the Lord, where their money can't save them anymore. Behold, the day of the Lord.
Amen.
You're going to go into the hospitals. You're not going to go in there and tell them, behold, the kingdom of God. You're going to go in there and tell them, behold, the day of the Lord. Behold the day of the Lord. Why? Because that individual's grace is run out. Now after they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and get saved, you can say, behold the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, I mean, you got to understand something. That the devil has have people prepared so much, and not only so much antichrist, that when you mention Christ, they hate it. They, you know, and things are going to get worse.
It's not going to get better. Look at what verse 3 says in chapter 22 in Revelation.
And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Now, this is after 1,000 years.
So even the curse will be on, it still won't be removed until after 1,000 years. Does everybody get it?
Hallelujah. Okay. So all things must return under the authority of Christ. Let's go to Psalm 110.
Glory to God. not only spiritually, but on the earth too. Everything must come back under him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's read this together. The Lord said to my Lord. Now, this is God the Father talking to who? Jesus. Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Well, how is he going to do that? Days of the Lord, the day of the Lord. How's he going to do that? Through trials, tribulations. How is he going to? Well, he's going to also use the body of Christ, isn't he? But after you and I are gone, he's going to use demonic powers. Even though they're his enemy, he's going to still use them and then put them under his feet. Hey, Daddy ain't stupid. In verse 2, the Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. Are we volunteers? Amen. Hallelujah. And the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. You have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now who's he talking about? The Lord, Jesus. The Lord is at your right hand, and he shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. That's known as the what? Day of the Lord. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head. It sounds like a rough day. Somebody's going to have a rough day, man. They think they had headaches. Woo-hoo! They're going to have a rough day. So we see that the Lord, the Father says to the Son, sit next to me until I put your enemies under your footstool. And then you'll go. Amen? Praise God. Go to 1 John 3. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 3. Praise be to God. So we see here, the Lord says, the Father says to Jesus, okay, hang here because you're the priest. You'll be interceding. Amen? And I'll put your enemies under your footstool. So we know that during that period of time, we've come under the authority of Christ spiritually, and then we will come under his authority physically when he comes to the earth. In 1 John chapter 3, is everybody there? In verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why it was manifested. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. Praise God. So we see that there are children of the devil and there are children of God, and they will manifest. And the day will the Lord will come upon both of them. Let's go to Matthew. It's Matthew 4, verse 17. From the time that Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And that's what he's doing, isn't he? But understand, he came preaching what? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, in the Old Testament, you didn't read anything about saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Everything in the Old Testament is, behold, the day of the Lord, and it's returning. The Bible says that the Old Testament is a shadow of that which is to come. All of that is returning. I share with you tonight that the Lord put on my heart that this was a prophetic message. I really didn't know how to put it in words, just to use the scriptures to bring understanding of what is about to happen in this great turn and this great boldness. Not that the kingdom of God is not at hand. Amen? Because the kingdom of God is within. We are the kingdom of God. But there is going to be a great time, very shortly, where you will go around saying, behold, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. I'm going to go to another scripture here. We know that I'm not going. You can just write this down. 2 Corinthians 6:2. It talks about the day of salvation. That the day of salvation is at hand. Amen. In Matthew 25:31-46, and it talks about Jesus separating the sheep and the goats, and he says, and they will, some will go into everlasting life, and some will go into everlasting damnation. But I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 9. Let's read this together, 9 through 11. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That sounds like the day of the Lord to me, for every one of us. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God. And I also trust are well known in your conscience. Well, you're persuading men. Sometimes persuasion just doesn't come, behold, the kingdom of God. Sometimes you need to tell them, hey, man, the day of the Lord is at hand. And tell them what the day of the Lord is. Amen? Now I want to just end with Revelation 16 and verse 12. So let's read it together. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on a great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the bees, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle that great day of God Almighty. That's known as the day of the Lord. God Almighty. And verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gather them together to a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. Prepare us, Lord. Prepare us. Prepare us, Lord. Remove the wimpiness. Remove the fears. And bring the boldness, Lord. Bring the boldness. Bring the boldness, Lord. To each and every one here, bring the boldness and prepare us. Prepare us, Lord. Prepare us for the day of the Lord. Prepare us to preach the day of the Lord. Prepare us to proclaim the day of the Lord. Prepare us, Lord, that souls will be rescued. Lord, I pray as we come across these souls and you quicken us to tell them about the day of the Lord, that great terror will come upon them. Fear and reverence unto you, rescuing them from the day of the Lord. I pray a blessing over each and every one. Lord, protect this seed and let it bring witness to each and every one. For your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,